important called True Christianity, because we really are living in the last days, folks. We really are. We're living in a time that the Bible describes, and we read many of those verses. I'm not going to recap that. Of course, you can go online and see it if you weren't here last week. But we really are. We're living in a day where Christ is being taken out of Christianity. And Christianity without Christ is like every other dead religion on the earth. I know that's not politically correct to say. I know it isn't, and I know people will be offended at that. But all religion, including Christianity, is pointless, worthless without Christ. Well, which one is better? They're all the same. Worthless. Without Jesus. Without Jesus in Christianity, Christianity just becomes another dead religion of rules and regulations about trying to attain some type of level so that you can have approval by God. Christianity is not that. True Christianity is not. All right? Nominal Christianity is, unfortunately, but true Christianity is about knowing God. Salvation is knowing God. You need to know that from the scriptures, and this is what this series is about, how to know him, how to really know him. And so we read a couple parables last week. We started the same parables in two gospels, Luke chapter 6 and Matthew chapter 7. And let me just recap it real quickly. Let's just read it. Luke chapter 6, if you have your Bible, look over in verse 46, or just look up here on the screens. Jesus says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Great question, Jesus. Why is it that we would call him Lord, but yet not do what he says in regards to marriage, in regards to finances? There's several reasons why. One of them is he really isn't Lord. We just call him that. Come on, somebody. Lip service, but not heart service. All right? And that's what Jesus is trying to show us here. And so he says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" Next. "Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he's like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose," not if the flood arose, when the flood arose, say storms are coming. You'll get it? So he said, you've got to lay this foundation on the rock. And of course, we found out last week that that rock is Jesus. "And when the flood arose and stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock," right? "But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation." And last week, that was the first part of this series, the foundation. What's the foundation? Who is the foundation? That's all we talked about. Get it if you weren't here last week. And here he's contrasting the foundation on Jesus versus earthly principles. Earthly principles in finance, earthly principles in marriage. Why and unfortunately the church has adapted more earthly principles than kingdom principles. This is why the church shacks up. Because God says, make a commitment first before you start sleeping together. Is that too strong? It's truth. He says, no, you need a commitment when you bring children into life, because storms are coming. And there has to be a foundation with Jesus being that you have a deep, look what he says. He says he dug deep and built a, you got to dig deep for this kind of foundation. Are you with me? If you're going to stand the test of life, you're going to have to dig a deep foundation. Because storms are coming. Hit the person next to you and say, storms are coming. Challenges are coming. Are y'all with me? But you're going to have to dig a deep foundation, and that's called commitment. I just cussed. Y'all all right? Commitment. Commitment to the things of God. Commitment to your spouse. Commitment to your church. Commitment to the word of God. Come on, somebody. Amen. And that's what he said. When he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the storm beat vehemently. I have a hard time saying that word. And immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. We talked about the foundation last week. The same passage is in, the same parable is in Matthew chapter 7. And actually where the parable starts is in verse 24. But it starts out with the word therefore. And I've taught you that whenever you see therefore in the scriptures, it's therefore for a reason, and you've got to look at the pretext to find out what it's there for. So here's the pretext to that same parable in Matthew. Look what he says. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, that's the day of judgment, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name? Done many wonders in your name? Didn't we do all that stuff? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Circle right there, highlight that in your Bible. I never knew you. Those are not the words you want to hear when you're standing up on judgment day before God. Didn't I do this? Didn't I do that? Didn't I do this? Didn't I do that? He said, but I don't know you. So what's more important here? Relationship with Jesus than doings. Why? Because relationship with Jesus will cause the doings out of the heart. Many people just try to do something. And let me just tell you, without the right foundation and relationship with Jesus, none of those things will last. You can't love your spouse right without relationship with Jesus. You can't love anybody right without a relationship with Jesus. You can't. He's the foundation. Are y'all with me? We talked about all that last week. Lynn, here's verse 23. Then I would go to verse 24, please. Therefore, there it is. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. So he's saying, the person, this is an acid test. What he's showing us here is an acid test. If you're not doing what Jesus says, he says, it's because you don't have a real relationship with me. I don't know you. You don't know me. Are y'all listening to me? It's relationship isn't right. Did y'all see that? Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. There was a foundation of Jesus on that house, that family, that marriage, that business, those finances, those emotions, everything a part of you was built on Jesus and your relationship with him. It's founded on that, all right? He says in the rendering of but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. No mention of a foundation here. All right, and that's what he mentioned in the other one. That's why we talked about foundation from Luke last week. He says, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it fell and great was its fall. So today I want to talk about knowing God, because he said, I didn't know you. I don't know you. You're going to come and say you did a bunch of stuff. He says, but I never knew you. So the most important part is understanding how does he know us and how do we know him. That's what we're going to talk about today, knowing God. Did y'all mark in verse 23 in your Bible? I never knew you. That word know right there. No, it's a new form right there. But that word know in the New Testament is gnosko. And it's the same word in Hebrew. It's called yada. Kind of like our keyboard player, yada. Yada, we call him yada. His name is Ken Yada. But yada, it means to know. And the word doesn't just mean have a mental knowing. It means the word, in fact, I wrote it all down. Gnosko, to intimately know in relationship. Become well acquainted with. It's an idiom for sexual intercourse between a man and a woman. When the Bible says, I never knew you, Jesus is saying, we didn't have an intimate relationship. I don't know you. And the Bible likens our relationship with Jesus as a marriage. I'm going to get to that. I don't want to jump ahead of myself here. But let me show you in the scriptures. First of all, this word new. In the Greek, it's gnosko. In the Hebrew, it's yada. In Genesis chapter 4, let's just look at a few verses so you can see that I'm not making this up. Amen? Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1. Look at just the first part. It says, and Adam knew. There's that word, yada in the Hebrew. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain. When this word is used, it's always used in a marriage situation and with birthing a child, fruit being produced. fruit being produced. So what God is saying here, I never knew you. We never had this intimate joining in a relationship where I was married to you and we were able to produce fruit. In fact, all we do is bear fruit. We bear fruit. Jesus produces the fruit through relationship with him. Are y'all with me? You don't have to try and love when you have genuine relationship with Jesus. You don't have to not, you don't, I don't have, watch. Because I love Shanae, I don't commit adultery on her. Because she loves me, she doesn't commit adultery. Out of that relationship we have. Not because we shouldn't, but because of our relationship. If I really love her, I'm not going to do that. And that's why Jesus said, if you really love me, you'd keep my commandments. If you really did. Now, I know you say you do, but if you really did, there'd be fruit in your life. It'd be a fruit in your life that would break off some of the foolish stuff. Come on, somebody. When you start really dating someone seriously, you'll get rid of them. Come on, somebody. If it's real, you'll start getting like, okay, I need to narrow down the field here. Isn't that right? That's not necessary, because this is where I'm going now. And that's what Jesus is saying. He said, no, if you got a real relationship with me, you will keep my commandments. That's the acid test. Come on, somebody. God, if you've got some illicit relationships, you got some crazy, some crazy stuff, and we've all had it, no shame. Y'all get what I'm saying? I'm just telling you, when there's junk, and we all know it. Stop tripping. We all know it when we got junk in our life and secrets and stuff that we're hiding. God is saying here, it's because your relationship with me isn't tight. Because God will let you know that's going to ruin your life. Now watch, keep in mind here that the husband that Jesus is to us wants to protect us. That's what a husband does. A husband protects his family, protects his bride, protects him, and wants to make sure that they don't get in any kind of illicit stuff that will ruin their lives. Are you with me? So God doesn't want you in relationships that will leave you empty at the end. Come on, somebody. Okay, y'all see it there? Look over at same chapter, verse 17, please. Yeah. And Cain, remember they had Cain and Abel, and Cain knew his wife. There's that same word. And she conceived and bore Enoch. Y'all see it again? This is more than shaking hands. This is an intimate walk together that produces fruit. Oneness, intimacy. Y'all, come on, don't make me break that part down. Y'all get that right? Wink, wink, wink. Come on. All right, look over at verse 25. Yeah. And Adam knew his wife again. I love this one. And she bore a son named Seth. Because this knowing, this is a progression that should never end. You don't just go, well, I know the Lord now. I'm done. No. When you get born again, what that is like the wedding feast, the wedding of a couple. But come on, somebody, you don't get to know them until then. Oh, it's quite a No, you don't kick the tires on the, that's not God's way. Are y'all with me? That's when the knowing starts. You should be more in love 10 years down the line than on the wedding day. Yeah, the wedding day is all fluff and fine and beautiful and good cake and good food. Come on, somebody. Hey. But there's going to be a whole lot more better food and a whole lot more better conversations. I'm talking ghetto right now. There should be a whole lot more intimacy after that date. Shanae and I are more in love now than we were when we got married. We look back. You know how on Facebook pops up your memories? And we were looking apparently a couple years ago this time, we were in Italy. And we were in Sicily, and it pops up on Facebook last week. I was like, look at this. Remember this? And I played it, and it was this. We were on this tour bus in Sicily, and we had been to Venice. We were over there, and that was 2 years ago. And we just sat there, and we looked at that, and we went, oh. It brought us right back there. Are y'all with me? We're in love. We have an intimate relationship that has produced fruit called children. Come on, somebody. And when you really have intimate relationship, if you don't want to produce fruit, you're going to have to do something to stop it. It is the natural result of genuine relationship, intimate relationship between a husband and a wife. That is natural. It is a natural flow. The fruit of God is a natural flow. The fruit of peace, the fruit of prosperity, the fruit of joy, the fruit of blessing is a natural progression when you have intimate relationship with him. Are y'all with me? Look over in the New Testament. In the New Testament in Matthew, the angel had to come and talk to Joseph and tell him that Martha, that his wife, remember Mary, was with child. And of course, during this time, if you had slept with a girl before you had married her, you could be stoned. Both of them could. And so the angel's saying, hold up, she's pregnant, but don't put her aside and don't get her stoned. It was that serious. Come on, do y'all get this? If we understood how important this is, because God is saying, no, don't you start doing those things that have to do with this intimate relationship if the commitment isn't there. And so in Bible terms, under the Old Testament, you could be stoned to death. And so the angel came to him. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. In other words, he wasn't going to marry her. Hold up, she came up pregnant? And Joseph knew, I didn't sleep with you. That ain't my baby. She said, it's the Lord's. He's like, right. Yeah, right. So the angel had to show up and tell him, yeah, right. She's telling you the truth. Go ahead and marry her. Look at the next verse. And did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So he never slept with her until after she had that child. Y'all see that? There's that word new again. So he never had intimate relationship with her until the child was born. Again, my point is, knowing is an intimate relationship with someone. Are y'all seeing that? So knowing God, when Jesus said, I never knew you, what he's saying is, I never had an intimate relationship with you. And you're going to see what this means. Watch this. Knowing God is to be in union with him, having an intimate, loving relationship that results in you bearing fruit. Come on, somebody. It's knowing God is to be in union with him, having an intimate, loving relationship that results in bearing fruit. There should be fruit in your life from this relationship. If you really are, now let me break down another term for you. Turn on over in your Bible to John chapter 17. Good God, I love this job. I do. I love this. This is so fun to me. Y'all, if you will stick with me, if you'll stick with me this year, you're going to see such great fruit in your life and in this church. All right. Ooh, I want to start telling you what I want to tell you on Tuesday. Let me stick to my notes here. Are y'all in John chapter 17? In John chapter 17, we get that Jesus gives the definition of eternal life. Let's look what he says. Are y'all in? This is the high priestly prayer. Jesus was at the Last Supper in chapter 14, 15, and then he goes out into the Garden of Gethsemane in chapter 16 and 17, and he's praying to the Father the day before he's going to the cross. So very important words, very important instruction that he gives here about the Holy Spirit and so on and so forth. But watch, he's praying to the Father. Watch what he says. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, watch this, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. Highlight that in your Bible and circle eternal life. Why I came is that I can give, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he, Jesus, should give eternal life to as many as you had given him. Look at verse 3. And this is eternal life. Here's what eternal life is. Here's the definition of eternal life. That they may gnosko you. There's that word again. That they may know you. Have intimate relationship with you that produces fruit. That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. All right? Now, I want you to note, and you can do this on your own time, but if you write down eternal life and just pull it up in a computer concordance, everywhere you see eternal life, you're going to learn something about relationship with God. Because that's what eternal life with God is, knowing God. Y'all see that? this is eternal life, that you may gnosko, that they may gnosko you, know you, have intimate relationship with you and Jesus. Did y'all see that? Turn over to John chapter 3 and verse 16. Here's an example. I'm going to read in the NIV. The word everlasting and eternal are the same exact word in the Greek. Look, here's Jesus. Here's the pretext before in John 3:16. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, y'all remember that in Numbers 23, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, right? Put on a cross, that everyone who believes may have eternal life. What does that mean? That they may believe, know God. Everyone who believes will know God. A true believer is going to know God. Are y'all with me? Now, so we see that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. Eternal life equals knowing God. Go to the next verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life or everlasting life in the King James. So it's the same word. What salvation is then is knowing God. What eternal life is not living forever. Many people define salvation and eternal life as going to heaven. Jesus didn't define it like that. Jesus defined eternal life as knowing him. Going to heaven is a benefit of knowing him. Living an eternal life. Now, every human being is going to live forever somewhere. Knowing God is what determines where you live. Are y'all with me? So again, salvation, knowing God, eternal life, the same thing, they're synonymous. And it is not, Jesus did not describe eternal life as having a long life, going to heaven, being born again. All that means, being born again, all those are benefits, but what it means, what salvation means, is knowing God, having a true relationship with God. And y'all, this is so much the most important thing in Christianity. This is what everything is built on. Everything is built on. Can I show y'all another scripture that's not in my notes? Turn over to John chapter 5. Thank you, Adrian. John chapter 5, look at verse 39 and 40. Verse 39 and 40, Jesus is fussing with the scribes and the Pharisees. If y'all can put it up there, do it if you can. If you can't, no worries. John, I'll turn there just in case you can't. John chapter 5, verse 39 and 40. Look at this, because my time's good. And actually, the whole book of John. John is the one who, make some noise for him in the back. John is the one who had this revelation. You don't see it in Luke, Matthew or Mark. You see it in John, and you see it in the epistles of John. He talks over and over. I'll show you another one here in just a second. But look at this one. Jesus fussing with the scribes and the Pharisees and these Jewish leaders because they say, we know God. He says, no. In the verse right before this, in verse 30, he said, no, if you knew me, you'd keep my word. They said, we know the Father. He said, no, if you knew the Father, you'd keep my word. Same thing I just said to you, right? He says, now watch. Because they were like, we know the word of God. Moses gave us the law. We know it. He says, no. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these scriptures are they which just testify of me. The scriptures are doing nothing but pointing you to me. Look at verse 40. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. You try to go to the scriptures, but you're not coming to me. Are you with me? And many believers, oh, I read the Bible. So what? Do you have a relationship with him? Now watch, this is really the key to everything. It's the key to everything in life. Everything you and I need to know, God says, is through a relationship with me. It's through a relationship. Now watch this, y'all. Now, like the big decisions that we have to make in life, you don't have to fill your brain space with, should I leave my wife? Just go to the scriptures. That's spelled out. Are you with me? Unless she's in an adulterous relationship and all that kind of stuff. Y'all get it? There's some, God tells us in the scriptures, conditions regarding that. You don't have to pray about, should I rob the bank or church's chicken? Leave that brain space free for other harder stuff. All right? And there are some things that aren't in this book. Like, should I marry her or her, or should I, if I'm a woman, okay, you don't even have to figure out, should I be, if I'm a woman, should I be hooking up with a woman, because that's spelled out too. Don't even pray about that. Oh, it's quiet in this Presbyterian church. See, here's where people get offended. I didn't put down anybody. I'm just telling you, if you're going to live the blessed life, you got to do it by God's word. Are y'all all right? Don't make me come down there. All right, but there are some things that it's not answered here. Do I take this job or this job? That's where your relationship is paramount. That's where you got to know him and you got to go to him. And there are the key to your relationship is prayer and the word. If you don't know how to pray right, prayer is like sports. You got to use the right rules for the right prayer. You got to use the right rules for the right sport. You can't come playing baseball with football rules. Okay, I want to stop that guy from running. Let me just go tackle him. That's football. Prayer of faith, prayer of petition, prayer there's all types of different prayer, and you've got to use the right prayer. And trust me, God is not a man that he should lie. When God says something, he cannot lie. And so when God says, I am the God that heals you, and when he says in his word, this is how you do it though, and then we don't do it that way because we don't know, or we feel we out of ignorance, or we plain old just don't want to do it that way. Jesus said, in that day you won't ask me for a thing. You'll go to the Father and ask him in my name. Well, that's just semantics. Really? Do y'all get what I'm saying? This is the book of life. This explains how life works. Are you with me? So it's a relationship with him, and the Bible calls it spirit and truth. Remember the woman in John chapter 4? She came up to Jesus and said, he wanted something to drink. He said, give me some water out of there. And she said, okay, I'll get you some water. But he said to her, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me for water, and you'd never thirst again. She said, but you don't even have a dipper. He said, the water I give is eternal life. And then do you remember what she said? Oh, our fathers were. He said, no, you don't know who you're worshiping. I know him. Again, he was talking about having a relationship with him. And then she went and said, I am he. I'm the one. I'm the one with this relationship that can give you eternal life. It's knowing me. Are you with me? It's about knowing God. All the details of your life are in a real relationship with him. Let me move forward. All right. The Bible says it all throughout John. I don't have time to go through all the verses in John, but all throughout the epistles of John, turn to one. Daggone it. John, 1 John chapter 5, verse, I think, 11. 1 John chapter 5. And it's all through here. This is what John talks about, love. And if you really loved him, this would happen. You get it? If you really receive the love of God, you wouldn't be sinning. And that's what he's talking about, is this intimate relationship with Jesus. If you had it, it'd start shaking off some of the stuff off you. Say it's a progress. It's a progression. Y'all get it? So it's you're going to know him more and more, just like Adam knew Eve, and then he knew her again. And come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Don't make me break that down. I want to, but I'm going to move ahead. Look at this. I'm in 1 John chapter 5. Thank y'all. Make some noise for him back. And this is a testimony that God has given us what? Eternal life. And this life is where? This eternal life is in his son. It's in his relationship with his son. That's the primary reason. There's two primary reasons why Jesus came: to show us who the Father was, and to deal with the sin problem so that we could have a relationship again with Jesus. We could have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Are y'all with me? Amen. All right. Go to the next verse. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. He's talking about that eternal life. Next. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may what? know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. He's saying, listen, and this is all John talks about in John chapter 5 in the epistles. He repeats this kind of saying over and over. You've got to know him. If you really know him, you've got eternal life. Are y'all with me in this place? All right. Let's move in a little bit deeper. All right. What we're talking about here is a marriage. When the Bible talks about marriage, it's talking about us being married to Christ. The example that God uses, Paul writes it in the book of Ephesians, that he uses in marriage, he says, husbands, submit, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wives, submit to your own husband as unto the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Everything is centered around the Lord when it comes to family. If Christ isn't in the center of your relationship, if you're not more in love with Christ than with your wife, and that's a gradual thing. It's more learning. You get it? You'll learn it. It's a gradual thing. But I've got to tell you this so you get this. You get this, and that's going to determine how the rest of your life goes. Are y'all with me? That relationship. But it's a marriage. Say marriage. Let's look at some verses so you can see that. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 through 3 in the NIV. Are y'all there? I told myself I got to calm down so y'all can really hear me and I can teach these scriptures. Let me take a deep breath. James, am I screaming and yelling? I can't tell. I'm all right? Okay, let me calm down because I'll listen to the service today when I get home. And then I start sounding like Bob, just hollering and screaming. I don't know what Bob said, but it certainly was exciting. I didn't quite understand it, but... No, I'm just kidding. Y'all loved it. No, it was all good. I was in the back. I said, What is he saying? Was it? What? I feel like I'm doing that too. Just yelling. Ah, get out! I said, man, I feel beat up now. What happened? Did I just get a whooping? I don't want to whoop y'all with the word. I just want to love on you. Listen gently. Watch this. Make some noise for Pastor Paul. The Bible says we're married to Christ. The Bible calls us the bride of Christ. A bride of Christ. Ooh, there's so many passages about this, but look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 through 3. I'm going to read it in the NIV. Paul says, I hope you will put up with me in a little foolishness. Yes, please put up with me. I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I may present you as a pure virgin to him. Y'all get what he's saying? He's saying here, y'all cheating on the Lord. You're putting other things before the Lord. He said, I want to present you as a virgin to him. You're having affairs with the stuff versus having a relationship with him. Wouldn't that be bad? Wouldn't that be bad? And many people do this. And this is why the Bible talks so much about in marriage, the commitment first before the sex. Because it's like shacking up with Jesus, trying to get the benefits without the covenant and commitment. Without the commitment, but just like, and that's what many people do. They just want the benefits of marriage without the commitment to the marriage. And y'all get what I'm saying right here? And God's saying, no, don't. Paul is fussing here. He's saying, y'all trying to get the benefits without the commitment. And I'm trying to present you to the Lord as a pure virgin before him, faithful to him, right? Look at the verse 3. He says, but I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your mind somehow may be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Now watch, y'all. He says so much in this passage that is so important. He said, in one translation, it says, the simplicity that is in Christ. The ways of God, he calls the sheep and lambs. There's one major characteristic about sheep and lamb. Can I say it without y'all getting offended? Because I'm one too. Dumb. They need a shepherd. They need a shepherd, all right? Or they will kill themselves. They will fall off a cliff. They'll be eaten by wolves. And the Bible gives all those types of analogies, all those type of parables that Jesus talked about. He said, I'm the good shepherd. But the thing about the sheep is they can be duped really easy. And that's why I'm teaching about true Christianity. Because many, many believers have relationship with the stuff and not the person who provides the stuff. We want the prosperity without the commitment to Christ. We want peace with independence from Christ. We want the prosperity without a commitment to Christ. And that's what Paul was fussing about here. He says, no, this thing is real simple. It starts with a relationship and marriage to him. all that is byproduct. That's fruit from that. Are y'all with me? Hit the person next to you and say, I get this, I get this. How many of y'all really get it? Do y'all get what I'm saying right here? Amen. Jump to my next passage here, another one I put in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Ooh, I love this one too. I'm sorry, y'all. I can't really dance, so I just got to jump up and down. Watch this, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul here. He says, don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? Now remember what marriage is. Marriage is this union. The two shall become one flesh. So he says here, he's giving us the analogy that your bodies are actually parts of Christ now. When you become born again, your body belongs to Christ. My body belongs to my wife and her body belongs to me. We're one now. He says that about us as the body of Christ. Don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? Should a man then take his body, which is part of Christ, and join it to a prostitute? He immediately jumps into these sexual issues. All right? He says, never! And don't you realize that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her, for the scriptures say the two are united into one. But the person who is joined, united to the Lord, is one spirit with him. He said, your body is the Lord's, and so is your spirit. Say, I'm married to Christ. We're the bride of Christ, and we're married to him. Do y'all see that? Amen. Watch this. Look over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30 through 32. Look at this. Ooh, we're doing good, y'all. Watch this. Hurry, hurry. For we are members of what? His body. We're the body of Christ now. We are the body of Christ. Y'all get how that is? He's the head, but we're the body. Shanae and I are one body now. We're joined together, right? We are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Watch what he says here. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. He's saying, when I'm teaching you about marriage, what I'm really teaching you about is the union with you in Christ. It's a real marriage. Oh, this isn't in my notes, but turn over to Revelation chapter 21. I'm sorry. Y'all got to see this. The Bible talks about us. Look at verse, is it chapter 21 or is it chapter, yeah, I think it's chapter 21. Yes. Verse 9. Revelation chapter 20, verse 9. Yes, maybe through 11. Watch this. Then one, yes, make some noise for him in the back. This is in the last days. Watch this. After the last days. He says, then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls, the vials, filled with seven last plagues, came to me and talked with me, saying, come, I will show you who? The bride, the Lamb's wife. Who's the Lamb? Jesus. Who's the bride? Watch what he says. And he carried me in the spirit, away in the spirit, to a great high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Do y'all know that we are not going, if you go to be with the Lord before Jesus returns, you will go to heaven, but you ain't staying there. You're coming back to earth. That's what he's talking about. And he carried me when the Spirit showed me descending out from out of heaven from God. Thank you. One more. Having the glory of God. That's us. That is your assignment and call in life. Caring and reflecting the glory of God. Your first and most important call in life. And if you get this right, your doings, havings, and goings will fall in place. Your purpose of your life is to reflect the glory of God, to reflect Christ in the earth, regardless of your circumstances. All right, I'm teaching that on Wednesdays. Having the glory of God, her light was, look at what the light was like. Her light, that's the body of Christ, was like a most precious what? Remember I told you last week that we're precious stones. He's the cornerstone, but we're these precious stones that reflect the glory of God. Precious stones, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Amen. Okay, I'm just showing you a few extra ones, but watch. Then now turn over in your Bible. Turn over in your Bible, our last passage we're going to look at before we leave. How many of y'all learned already? Turn over to John chapter 15. Now, y'all got to come back. You've got to come back. Here's why. Because I want to break down how this relationship works and explain some of the details of how you find out everything God has for you. It's through an intimate relationship with him. Are y'all with me? Relationship. And I got to break that down for you. Y'all with me? Look at this. I'm in John chapter 15. Again, John chapter 14, 15, 16, 17. Jesus, Last Supper with his disciples. And he begins to share with them about the Holy Spirit coming and him leaving. And of course, they didn't understand all these things. But in chapter 15, he really breaks down what he said in chapter 17 about eternal life. He breaks down that relationship right here. Y'all, lock in right here. If you can just stick with me for 5 minutes, this is going to change your life right here. I'm reading these passages, John chapter 15, out of the Passion Translation, TPT, the Passion Translation, great translation. Watch, I like it just because it really just shows the heart of the passage. Watch this. Jesus saying here, he says, the words, this is that passage when you read in New King James, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches, my Father is the husbandman. Y'all read that before? Some of the most passionate stuff about Jesus' writings right here, his words. He says, the words I have spoken over you have already cleansed you. He said, if you receive my words, you're born again. You're forever cleansed right there. But watch this. So you're born again, but now you must remain in life union with me. Now you've gotten born again, we're married, now we've got to develop this relationship. Life union, for I remain in life union with you, for as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit. He's talking to the disciples. These people already follow him. He's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to people who are now watch, they're not born again now because he hasn't died, but he's explaining the process. Right? You've received me, you're gonna be forever. You're born again, but you've got to have a relationship with me. He calls it a life union with me, for I remain in life union with you, for as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit. You're born again, but not bearing fruit. You're saved, but you're not bearing fruit. Your life is still tore up from the floor up. You're still shacking up. You're still in adulterous relationships. You're still, come on, somebody. I'm smiling. You all right? James, am I yelling? I just got to make sure. I'm good. Okay. All right. For as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to mine. Come on. Is that everything I've just said to you? Think of this like this. You can be married but have a bad marriage. You can have a bad marriage. Y'all know that? Where you don't talk, you're not in love, there's no touching, there's no intimacy, there's no joy. You get what I'm saying? And he's saying here, no, you got born again because you got washed by my word, but you didn't stick with me after that. You stopped coming to church. You stopped hearing the word. You stopped. Right? I am the sprouting vine and you're my branches. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. You won't have to try and do these things. It will be the fruit of it. Y'all see that? It is the result of the relationship, just like children are a natural result of a loving couple's relationship. Come on, somebody. Don't make me break that down. I'd like to break it down, but I would like to break it down at home. Praise the Lord. Is that too much? Y'all could take it out the tape. But when you live separated from me, you're washed with my word, but you're separated from me, estranged from me, you are powerless. You're sick, you're depressed, you're broke, you're broke down. No excitement to hear the word. No excitement to get in church. No excitement to lift your hands in praise. He's saying you're not in life union with me. Oh, he says, I am the, am I, did I read that one already? Yes. Verse 6, if a person is separated from me, he is discarded. Not that I've discarded him. They discard themselves. They ruin their own lives because I can't tell them what they need to do. Right? If a person is separated from me, he is discarded. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire to be burned. They end up self-destructing. Next. But if you live in life union with me, And if my words live powerfully within you, relationship and word. Jesus said to the woman at the well, those that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Relationship and word. And my words live powerfully within you. Then you can ask whatever you desire and it'll be done. What? Because we start thinking alike now. Your thoughts will begin to align with God's. He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to his will, says Proverbs chapter 16, and your plans will succeed. God will cause your he'll start birthing inside of you a desire, first of all, to break off some of the booty whack relationships you have. Is that all right? I didn't cuss all the way there, right? All right, I offended a few people, but y'all gonna be all right. You'll start wanting to shake because you get around some people and all they want to do is smoke weed, get drunk, hang out at stuff that you don't have no business being at. And then you're going to realize, hold up, you know what? I'm 30, 40 years old and I'm still broke. I'm still single. I'm still depressed. I need to lose you. And the more you fellowship with Jesus, the more you show up consistently at church and make this a part of your rhythm of grace. You'll start being transformed more and more into his image. You'll love being in his presence. You'll love showing up. There is no way I could miss praise and worship. No way. I've got to thank him because of how blessed he's made my life. God, I used to be so broke. God, I used to be so messed up. And I'm so grateful, Lord. So grateful for my life now. So grateful I'm not sitting in that cubicle anymore. So grateful that I get to do what I'm doing now. And you showed me this is what I'm supposed to do. So awesome. Did I read that one? Oh yeah, go to verse 8. When you have genuine relationship, fruit is going to be automatic. When your lives bear abundant fruit, you demonstrate that you are my what? Mature disciples. And this is why I'm starting discipleship classes. Starting some classes on time. And it's just going to be on Wednesdays. And I need people. How many of y'all really want to be discipled? All right. Now, let me see your hand again. I'm going to really be able to tell that when I tell you, you need to be here with me on Wednesday. Oh, snap. No, you know, I got to watch my game. You know, I'm too busy for that, Pastor Lee. We'll see. When your lives bear abundant fruit, it demonstrates, what is he saying? If you're a disciple, your life will produce fruit. The Bible never says, not one time does it say, go and make converts. It says, go make disciples. And many believers are just converts. They show up when it's convenient. They show up when it's easy. If it's not raining, if it's free food, if the music's just right, when you're a disciple, you need that word and you don't dare miss it because God's got something for you and I cannot afford to miss what God has in store for me. I'm almost done. Demonstrate that you're my mature disciples who glorify my Father. Jump to the next one. 9, I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me, Jesus says. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. How does that happen? In fellowship with me and my word. If you keep my commands, you will live in my love. Just as I've kept my Father's commands, for I continually live nourished and empowered by his love. Next. My purpose for telling you these things is so that the joy that I experience will fill your hearts with overflowing gladness. God wants the church excited. He wants you excited about your relationship with him. Verse 14, you show that you're my intimate friends. When you obey all that I command you. He said, here's the acid test if we got genuine relationship. You do what I say. Isn't that right? I'm just reading what the Bible says. Don't get mad at me. Go to the next one. I've never called you servants. Here it is. Because a master doesn't confide in his servants. The servants don't always understand what the master is doing. But I call you my most intimate friends. For I reveal to you how much? Everything that I've heard from my Father. How many of y'all need to know something that Jesus knows about your future, your life, your everything you need? He says, no, that comes from me. Don't go chasing peace, chase me. Don't go chasing money, chase me. Don't go chasing after a spouse, go chase me. I know who the spouse is. I got it for you. I love this one, y'all. Watch this. You didn't choose me. This is good news right here. But I've chosen and commissioned you to go into the world doing what? To bear fruit. You got to have genuine relationship with me so you bear fruit. And your fruit will last because whatever you ask my Father for my sake, he will give it to you. Close your, is that the last one? Close your Bible.